Greetings this morning in the name of Jesus. It's exciting to be in the house of God, to worship together with fellow brothers and sisters of Christ. We are from Union Valley and want to give greetings from Union Valley. My wife Janelle is along with me and our youngest son, Gavin. We also have a visitor here, Clarence Bang. He's also from our congregation. Exciting to have him here. And I appreciate that, Clarence, for you coming over and supporting. And, of course, he has family here also, so that's exciting. But it's joyful to be in the house of God. And it was given to me a open, whatever the Spirit lays in my heart to share. And this morning I'm going to be talking about anointing. Clarence may have heard this already if he was there at Union Valley. I'm going to share another message that I shared there already. The anointing. And I work with a mission, or I work with Palm Ministries, some kind of bishop oversight. And we're working in Ghana, Africa, and looking at church development, church building in a foreign country. And my mind was drawn to the beginning of Acts. How did the early church develop? How was it established, and how did it go forward? And the first thing that happened in the early church was the anointing, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1, it talks about Jesus said to his disciples after the resurrection, and it was almost time for the ascension, and where he's going to go back to the Father. And the scripture tells us he's out there sitting on the right hand of the Father, right? And Jesus was about to do that, and the disciples were wondering about, what are you going to do? Are you going to set up a kingdom, or what's going to happen? And Jesus, that wasn't his purpose at that point. His purpose was to come and die, and he did die as a Savior, and the kingship is coming later. And the disciples weren't sure what was going to happen. Jesus said, you need to go to Jerusalem, and you need to wait for the comforter. The scripture also uses the word comforter for the giving of the Holy Spirit. And you need to wait. Go to Jerusalem and wait and stay there, and the Spirit of God will come upon men. And I am so grateful that we have that Spirit of God that dwells within us, as when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a power, we have a force, we have one of the Trinity. We have the Father, we have the Son, Jesus, and then the third part of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us as humanity. The Old Testament didn't really have that. There was a form of the Spirit, and certain people, we'll talk about that as we get into the message today, there were certain people that the Spirit of God came upon, and they performed things. But in Acts chapter, I refer to Acts chapter 1, and Acts chapter 1 there, where I'm just going to read what Jesus said there about waiting, and verse 7, and we'll come back to Acts later and read a bunch of verses if we have time, Lord willing. And in verse 7 it says this, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in your own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the world. In other words, if we're going to be if I'm going to have an impact, or if the mission is going to have an impact in Ghana, Africa, it needs to be filled with the Spirit. There needs to be people there that are filled with the Spirit. Well, the same for you is here in Wellsboro. If you're going to have an impact in the community around you, your neighbors, the city folks here, you call this a city or is this a town? This is a town, I guess. But anyways, if the town folks are going to see Jesus in you, you're going to need to be filled with the Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Spirit, then we are given, the still small voice comes and speaks to us at times and says, how about speaking for me to this person? How about being a witness? As doors open and you build relationships in the community, and I don't know what all you do. If you're a farmer, it might be a little harder, but you got neighbors and they might want to borrow something. But you build relationships. And out of those relationships, you can impact lives. Actually, God impacts the lives, but you can put the word in for Jesus Christ. But we do that because we have power from the Holy Spirit. We have direction. We have leading from the Holy Spirit. That anointing is upon us, and we thank God for that. I want to take you on a little history journey to the Old Testament. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 10, I believe it is. Chapter 12, Exodus. And we understand Exodus, the book. Exodus has to do with what? The children of Israel. What is it? I think the Bible tells us they were there 430 years in Egypt, right? From the time Jacob took his family to Egypt until they came out. I think the scripture tells us it's 430 years. If I'm wrong, somebody can correct me on that. But the Exodus talks about the time when God delivered his people out of Egypt. In other words, Egypt is symbolic of the world. And you and I, as children of God today, have been delivered from Egypt. We have been delivered from the world. We haven't taken the journey. It's been 40 years in the wilderness. Maybe some have us. I don't know. But anyways, we've been delivered. But anyways, in Exodus 12, I like what the Lord says here. It's talking about the Passover that God was telling Moses, you tell the people to prepare for the Passover, prepare for the time when I'm going to kill the firstborn of the animals and of the people. And if you don't have blood on the doorposts, your firstborn also perish. And so it was part of that Passover. And verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. You know, what is interesting is we don't follow the scripture. And I'm not even sure that the Jewish people today, maybe there's some that do. But if you look at verse 2 there, just a little bit of history, just a little sidetrack note. This Jesus, God is telling the Jewish people here, the Israelites, that I'm going to give you a new year. And your new year is in this month of, actually it's called Nisan in Hebrew. And this is going to be your new year. It has to do with our springtime. And so our new year is in January, but the Jewish new year here would be what we know as our springtime here. Be the first month of the year to you. And God was setting them apart and setting them, given that I was coming with the Passover. And then we get down to the 10th day about taking the lamb. And then the 14th day in verse 6, and ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And that was when they took the blood, they put it on the doorpost, and so forth. So we had the beginning of the new year, the children of Israel, and the Passover. The Passover was the 14th, and what is Passover? We know Passover as a time when Jesus gave his life, right? Passover in the Old Testament is symbolic of when Jesus gave his life at Passover, a Jewish holiday. I want to tie some things together from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In Acts, we talk about, well, let's stop for a minute. I'm going to see, Clarence, if you're at Union Valley, you can't answer this morning. But anyways, back in Acts, we have the ascension. After the crucifixion and resurrection, how many days is it to the ascension? The Bible tells us.
50.
Nope. I want 50, but I'm not ready for 50 yet. I'm talking about the ascension. 40 days. All right. Now we'll get to the 50. How many days after the resurrection is Pentecost? I didn't even mention Pentecost this morning yet, did I? We had that number ready, right? 50, somebody said. Keep those numbers in your head. Number 40 isn't that critical, but 50. Because there's some things that happened in the Old Testament that line up with the New Testament. What is interesting is our God is so awesome so things are so tied together from the Old Testament to the New Testament. God is a God of order. Corinthians tells us that God is a God of order. And as you dig into the Word of God and you look at some of the feasts of the children of Israel from the Old Testament, there were three main feasts in the Old Testament. Now, there was more feasts, but there were three main feasts in the Old Testament that they were to keep. The first one was Passover. I talked about there in Exodus chapter 12, and that had to do with them coming out of Egypt. And at the end of Passover, there was a feast. This is Exodus. You could look at Exodus 23, Exodus 20, and Leviticus 23. And there was a feast that followed right after Passover. And that had to do with the beginning of the first fruits. Jesus rose as the first fruit of the church, the first fruit of Acts, the beginning of the church age, the first fruits. If we could go to I'll just bring it in here now. In Acts chapter 1, in the upper room, there were 120. And they were part of the first fruits. They were the ones that received the Holy Spirit. And they were the first fruits of the church. But Jesus was the first of the first. The first fruits. So he died on Passover, rose in the beginning of the feast of first fruits and the feast of harvest. And there was, the Bible talks about there were 7 weeks after the Passover and the beginning of the feast of first fruits. There was 7 weeks. So 7 times 7 is 49. And then one more is 50. 50 has to do with Pentecost in the New Testament in Acts. Now, Pentecost is a Greek word. The Hebrew word is Shabbat or Shavuot. I don't pronounce it right because I'm not Hebrew. I don't know Hebrew language. But it has to do with this feast that was 50 days after the Passover. After at the first rising of Jesus Christ, 50 days. And that feast was to remember the first fruits. So we had the first feast, Passover. The second feast now is Shavuot. And in Greek, it would be Passover. Did I say Passover? I meant to, Passover. And then the second feast was Shavuot, which would be Pentecost. I'll get it right again. Sorry about that. I don't mean to confuse you. In this feast had to do the first fruits and the feast of harvest. The feast of Shavuot had to do with they must have waved grains, stalks of grain, the first fruits of the grain harvest, maybe the barley or the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest, I think, was referring to. And it was the praise and worship for what God had given them. And then at the 50-day mark, it would have to do. It was to Shavuot. What had to do with the giving of the Ten Commandments, the giving of the law. If you go back to the Old Testament and in Exodus and follow the Jewish journey from Egypt, from when they exited Egypt to they got to Mount Sinai and receiving of the law, it was 50 days. The beginning of the giving of the laws was 50 days. So we had Passover. We had Jesus dying. We had the giving of the law at 50 days of the Exodus, and we had the coming of the Holy Spirit at 50 days after the resurrection. God is unique. God is special. There's something unique about the Old Testament with the giving of the law, and I want to turn to that. But first, before I turn to that, I want to read out of what Paul tells us about the law and the Spirit in 2 Corinthians 3, 6. It says this, Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, or not of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In other words, it has to do with the letter of the law takes life, and the Spirit of God give us life. And we are given life. We were dead. Now we are alive because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. But back in when the giving of the law was, and just looking here where I wrote that down, Exodus 32. You can turn there if you want to. And I know I jumped over a lot of scripture already here as I was given some of the history, but it's in Exodus. I'm not going to read it all this morning. For this morning, in Exodus 32, verse 28, talks about the giving of the law. In Exodus 32, here we have Moses had went up into the mountain. He was delayed, and as Moses was delayed, the children of Israel got anxious and was wondering what was taking so long and didn't know what happened to Moses, and they wanted Aaron to make them a god, and Aaron had them give them their gold earrings, and out came this golden calf, and they were worshiping the golden calf, and Moses came down and found them worshiping the golden calf, and this is the part here, the giving of the law. And then in verse 28 of 32, it says this. They were giving of the law, verse 25, let me start with 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood up, stood in the gate of the camp, and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did accordingly to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Remember I talked about, Paul talks about the letter, or the law taketh life, and the Spirit giveth life. Here we have, when the giving of the law, what the Jewish people remember as the Feast of Shavuot, to remember the giving of the law after they exited Egypt, there was about 3,000 lives that were lost. At Pentecost, the same feast or the same time, and we know it as the coming of the Holy Spirit, as the Jews were still celebrating the giving of the law, the early church, the new believers in the upper room, received the Holy Spirit. We use the word, the Greek word for the same feast, Pentecost. And at the giving of Pentecost at the end of chapter 2, how many lives came to know Jesus Christ and were baptized? 3,000. What does that mean? Around 3,000 lives were lost at the giving of the law, and around 3,000 lives were saved at the giving of the Holy Spirit. Isn't our God neat? I don't know what all that means. Maybe there's scholars here that can identify what all that means. But our God is neat. The giving of the law, life is lost. At the giving of the Spirit, lives are saved. Just something neat. Tidbit from truth, from the Scripture. The giving of life. Anointing. We need to get to the word anointing. I jumped over something. I got to back up a little bit. We were to read in Leviticus and Exodus, at this feast there was two loaves, wave offering, two loaves of bread that were made, and they would wave them. And I don't know if the scripture tells us for sure what the two loaves are symbolic of. There's a Jewish man that he thinks it means one loaf represented Israel, and the other loaf represented the Gentiles. And I don't know if that is true for sure or not. And I guess when we're preaching, we ought to know for sure. But it is interesting to me that that could be a possibility, because at Pentecost and after Christ, it was open to the Gentiles. And so the Holy Spirit came for all. The Holy Spirit came for the Jew and for the Gentile. And at the Feast of Shavuot, they would weigh the two loaves. And they may not have realized that maybe it was for the Jew and the Gentile. Now, we know that someone could come to the Jewish nation, become part of the Jewish nation, kind of a proselyte. But in the New Testament here now, it's for the Holy Spirit is for all, for the Jew and the Gentile. Also, I said there were three feasts. The third feast is in the fall, the seventh month, the scripture talks about. And that had to do with the Feast of Tents. Tabernacles, another word used in the King James. And that was a feast to remember their 40 years in the wilderness and how God took care of them. So those are the three main feasts that they were, the Jewish people were to keep. Now we want to go to anointing. Anointing of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the giving of the Holy Spirit is referred to anointing. We're anointed. You and I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit living within us. There were three groups of people in the Old Testament that were anointed. Can I have your help again? Can you guess, or do you have an idea of what groups of people had received an anointing? Anointing, when I'm talking about anointing now, in the Old Testament, I'm talking about pouring in of oil. Anointing, when there was anointing, they poured oil. And the prophets went and anointed someone, they took oil and they poured oil on them. I need three names. Can you give them to me?
Aaron.
All right. Aaron was, I want three categories, I'm sorry. Three categories, but Aaron was what? Priest, right? So that's one category.
Kings.
Another one. Priests, kings, prophets. Got it. Jesus was all three of those. So there was anointing. Anointing refers to pouring of oil. Aaron, Moses anointed Aaron as a priest and his sons. And I think it's in Psalms it talks about it ran down his beard and it was very beautiful. It was very special for the children of Israel, and that anointing was. So we have the priest anointed. You had Saul and was anointed. David was anointed as kings. Prophets were anointed. The Bible talks about Elijah when he ran from Jezebel. He ended up where? In the wilderness, right? He was in a cave, right? He was hiding. He was hiding for his skin. He thought his life was going to be gone, just as the prophets of Baal, as he had taken the lives of the prophets of Baal. Elijah thought, I'm over. I'm done. I'm history. And he went and hid. And God came to him and spoke to him. He had the earthquake and he had the fire. And then he had the still small voice, right? The still small voice spoke to Elijah. And Elijah was given a message. And he was to go or anoint a king and also anoint another prophet. And that was Elisha, right? So the prophets were also anointed. When I think about anointed, we are anointed. Anointing is when we're anointed, or when an individual was anointed in the Old Testament, they were anointed for a calling. They were either called to be a prophet, they were called to be a priest, they were called to be a king. And I had to think about the anointing of Saul. Samuel was the last priest, high priest or priest, and he anointed Saul to be king of Israel because they wanted a king. And he anointed Saul, and the Spirit of God. The scriptures talk about the Spirit of God came upon Saul. And we know history. And we know the history of Saul. And Saul followed the Lord. And after a while, pride came in the way. And Saul ceased from following God. 1 Samuel 10:1 tells us this. Then Saul took a vial of oil. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured upon his head and kissed him and said, "It is not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain of his inheritance." And then in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel is the words of what happened when the Spirit of God left him. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So we see the Spirit of God coming, resting upon Saul. And I don't know if it was a form of the Holy Spirit, but it's the Spirit of God. Just as we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit now, that anointing. He was anointed. And the Spirit of God came upon him, but he rejected God. He disobeyed God. There was pride in his heart, and the Spirit of God departed. And we know the stories. There were times when David would come in and play his harp for Saul because the evil spirit was upon him, tormenting him. And it was to soothe his nerves. That's a grave area to be in if we have once had the Spirit and then lose the Spirit. But that is lost. Why? because of pride, selfishness, not following the ways of God. David was anointed. The Spirit of God came upon him. We know the story where Samuel went to anoint David because God told Samuel, you need to quit. You need to cease from mourning for Saul and grieving for Saul and go anoint another king. And he went to the house of Jesse, and all the sons passed by. And God said, none of these. And Samuel said, I ain't to anoint any of these. And they passed by the second day. We know the story. And then Samuel's like, where's? And then it was David. He was out tending the sheep. And he was anointed. In 1 Samuel 16:13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And what's it say? And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. How else could a David performed as a mighty warrior under the rule of Saul? How else could a David fled for his life, but yet still honored the king, Saul? How could a David, without the Spirit of God being upon him, perform the many duties that God asked him to be and do? Be king of Israel, be king of Judah, and then Israel. You know what's neat about David? I don't know if he, is he a mirror of Jesus? Because he was anointed three times. He was anointed here. He was anointed when he became king of Judah. And then he was anointed a third time when he became king of Israel. Three anointings. Anointed. If you're a child of God here this morning, if you're a Christian, if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, and you have the Spirit of God living within us, within you, you're anointed. Anointing isn't for the brother or sister that's sitting beside you, but it's for you, specifically for you. David's anointing was specifically for him. Elijah, Prophet Elijah's anointing was specific for his work. And then he anointed Elisha, and Elisha's work was specific for his calling. We all have a calling. Some of us are leaders, some of us are teachers, some of us are farmers, whatever it may be, but we have an anointing. We have a calling. We have the Holy Spirit within us, and we have that anointing specifically for the God, for the calling that God has upon my life and your life. What is that calling? Do you know that calling? It doesn't need to be a pastor. It may be the person that is meeting his neighbor, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, impacting lives in the community. It's an anointing. We are all anointed. You know, I should have a bottle of oil here and dump it on each one of your head this morning just to as an example to show that you've been anointed for a special calling, special work. Anointed in the New Testament. I'm going to take it from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Christ means anointed. The scripture talks about the Messiah. Messiah means Christ or anointed. 1 John 1:41, it says this, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ, anointed. Following with me on this anointed now? Christ is meaning anointed, the oil. Song of Solomon 1:3 says this, talks about the bridegroom. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins lovely, in other words, referring to Jesus Christ. As a precious ointment, as an anointed, something that is precious, that is special. It also refers to a bridegroom, and we're the bride, anointed. Jesus means Savior, means deliverer in the Hebrew. Also has has an idea of anointed. Anointed is a consecrated person, as a king, priest, or saint, priest or prophet. Jesus is called Christ. Christ is a title, means the anointed one. What are you and I? What does the scriptures talk about in Acts, later in Acts, that the followers of Christ were called what? Christians, right? What does Christian mean? It has to mean little Christ or Christ followers, right? You and I are little Christ. In other words, we're little anointed. The anointing of Christ. Because of Christ. In other words, it almost gives me the picture. Christ is the oil and it's pouring out on us. And we're his little anointed. We're anointed as little Christ to be out there serving him. We have a calling to serve him. Little Christ. Acts 11:26 talks about when the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. You talk about Christ and anointed, meaning Christ as oil or anointed. You know what Gethsemane means? We know what happened at the time of the trial, and then before the crucifixion, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane and left some of them and took some of them, and he went on to pray, fell before the Father, and says he sweat his blood, drops of blood, the turmoil, the agony that he was in, taking the sins of the world, giving his life for the sins of the world, for your and my sin, everyone's. Gethsemane means oil press. Oil press. Christ means anointed or oil. Christ means oil. He was in the oil press in Gethsemane. And what did he do in Gethsemane? He said, Father, let this cup pass from me, right? But if it's not my will, but thine will be done. The oil press, saying, I release, I surrender. I give. I'm willing to give my life so that others could have life. I'm willing to be crushed. I'm willing for my spirit to be crushed. Giving of oil, a giving of life. What about as Christians, little Christ, little anointed? You're anointed this morning. Do we surrender as Jesus Christ did? Do we allow our lives to come under the will of the Father, the control of the Father. Yes, I'm willing to do what you want me to do instead of I want to do what I want to do. That's humanity. We all wrestle with that. I wrestle with that. Maybe you guys don't out here in Wellsboro. I don't know. Or in Rowe we do. We wrestle with those things. Surrendering. God sends that. God, Jesus gave that beautiful example for us. We now have that anointing. And as we surrender our lives, we can be everything that God wants us to be. Filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. We got to read Acts, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Going to take some time, but we're going to read pretty quickly. I'm going to start with verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the anointing, wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. Though these all continued with one accord in prayer, supplication, with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus, with his brother. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, The number of the names together were about 120. Jump down to verse chapter 2. The rest, the part of chapter 1 is they ordained another man to take Judas's that took his life place. In chapter 2 now we have Pentecost or the Feast of Shavuot. And Acts here uses the Greek Pentecost. We know it as the coming of the Holy Spirit. But it was the giving of the law for the Jewish people. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? You got different languages and peoples that were there in Jerusalem at this time. Let's jump down to verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Galilee, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, but that before that great and noble day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should be, not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and known that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are our witnesses. Therefore, by being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is this, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. I'm going to pause there. Every scene, the giving of the Holy Spirit at the Feast of Shabbat, Pentecost. But what is exciting about that is when the Holy Spirit came, those disciples, those in the upper room, especially Peter there, was the power of the Holy Spirit come upon him, and he preached the gospel message. And souls came to know Christ. If you are powerless today, you need to tap in to the anointing, to the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to have victory over strongholds in our lives. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think we wrestle and don't understand how much power is available to us from God, how he can lead us, how he can guide us through life, how he can walk with us, empower us. When that power of the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, the early church began. When the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 in the upper room, it was the beginning of the church. And that church today is around 2,000 years later. And we're part of that. Praise God for that. Why? Because of the anointing that is on the lives of men in the past and men today. Praise God for the anointing. Shall we bow our heads?